Hello and welcome to our weekly podcast from Faith Point Church, Auckland, New Zealand. We hope you will encounter God afresh in this week's teaching segment. If you enjoy this podcast and would like to hear more, then you can visit us at www.faithpoint.org.nz. And now for today's message.
What great stories, eh? God is on the move, and I know there's plenty of other stories sitting out there right now. Don't worry, you'll get your turn. You need to just let me know. If you've got something that you want to share that God's been doing, that you think will bless the family, then just let me know. We love testimonies, isn't it? It's the power of God at work. Hallelujah. So this morning I want to talk to you about living your life on purpose, living your life being guided and directed by the one who's you've given your life to. And I call that walking on assignment. When you are assigned to do something, you're assigned to do something with purpose and with meaning. And God has a plan for each and every person, each and every one of us. There is a unique plan and a unique assignment, sometimes plural assignments, over your lives. And most people struggle with this whole area of discovering their purpose. Has anyone ever discovered that, tried that, you know, in your life? Sometimes you've really struggled. What, you know, God, what do you have for me? What do you want me to do? And so I want to try and help solve part of that problem today. You know, we have the big questions of life. Why am I here? What am I supposed to do? A guy called Franz Kafka, who had the very unfortunate experience of not knowing his assignment, this is a quote from him. He says, slept, awoke, what a miserable life. Slept, awoke, what a miserable life. We've probably all been there at some stage within our lives. But Miles Monroe, the great Christian ambassador, he said these words, "The greatest tragedy in life is not death, but a life lived without purpose." And isn't that so true for all of us today? And, you know, the greatest life to study and look at to see where purpose comes from is the life of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the ultimate example. In Mark 1:38, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go to the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." Jesus knew exactly what he was supposed to be doing, where he was supposed to be going. You remember the Bible says a great while before daylight, he went up the mountain to pray. What was he doing? He was getting Daddy's agenda for his day to know what he should be doing and where he should be. That's the life that he lived. And when we're not living with our purpose, we often look secretly across the fence at people who seem to know what their purpose is and where they're going and what they're doing. And with a little bit of envy in ourselves, we look and we say, "I want to be like that." Well, the good news is today, you can be like that. You can live your life discovering the full purpose of God for your life. So firstly, let's look at the why. Let's look at the why of your purpose. And I want to take it from a different angle today, because this is an angle I've discovered. And in fact, you've heard stories this morning that are illustrations of exactly what I'm about to tell you. And this is the thing. You and I have been created to solve problems. You may not have realized that that's what your Christian life is about. But every single one of us have been given unique giftings, unique callings, and that calling is to solve a problem that needs to be solved. Can I hear an amen? Yeah. And you know, problems, you know what problems are? Problems are a catalyst for creativity. So when someone has a problem, you and I need to find a solution. And God helps us to create solutions and create answers. And by carrying those solutions out, we start to walk in our God-given assignment and purpose this morning. So if you have a teeth problem, there's a dentist waiting to solve your problem. He has all the right equipment. He has the latest technology. And you will leave with a big fat bill in your pocket. But problem solved, it just might cost you a few deliros in the process. You know, why did you buy your car? Why did you buy your first car? because it solved a transport problem. Mechanics solve car problems. Lawyers solve legal problems. Accountants solve tax problems. Adam had a problem, and the Bible says that he was alone. And God needed to supply a solution for his aloneness. So what does the scripture says? It said, it's not good that man should be alone. And what did he do? He created Eve for Adam. He solved the problem. And so when we're walking an assignment, we're finding problems that God is going to catalyze in us a solution, a creative solution, in which we can begin to find the answers. And when we help solve the problem, testimonies appear and God is glorified, and everybody in the arena of God's kingdom are starting to walk with a step and a stride, with purpose, with integrity, with dignity, because they have the smile of God upon their life, because they are doing the will of God for their life. Amen today. So you see, each one of us is a solution. You are a walking solution for someone today. See, isn't that a different way of seeing what it means to walk on assignment? Somebody needs you today. Somebody wants you. You are necessary to somebody somewhere today. Think of Jeremiah the prophet. Look what God says in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. This is God talking about Jeremiah. Before you were born in the womb, I knew you. God's got a life. It's planned. He's got a purpose for this baby that's about to be born called Jeremiah. And what does he say? Before you were born, I sanctified you. That means I set you apart for a special purpose. Every one of us have been born into such a day as this, for a specific purpose and design by God. Woo! And he says, I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. So God created Jeremiah for a very special purpose, to solve a problem here on the earth by being his prophet to the children of Israel. And God uses us on assignment as a grace reward into people's lives. I want you to think about that. He delivers something through our lives as a grace reward into somebody's life. What do I mean by a grace reward? Ephesians says this: for you are saved by grace. That means none of us have earned what we've got in this place today if you know Jesus. It's God's reward to your life. Not for what you have done, but simply for believing in Jesus. We make that distinction very, it's a grace gift. And so when we're walking on our assignment, we are a grace gift into somebody's problem that needs to be solved. You are a living, moving person of grace that God has now gifted to solve a problem in somebody's life. Jeremiah became Israel's grace gift. Amen. A prophet of God to the nation. Moses was given as a grace gift to the children of Israel. 400 years crying out in slavery under Pharaoh, God gives this man a message, has an encounter with the burning bush. Moses' purpose is set in place. And you know, the Bible speaks very clearly. We look at people like Moses and we go, wow, what an amazing man of God. But we forget that he was a murderer. We forget that he made some bad decisions 40 years earlier. And he lived in a place of total isolation for 40 years away from the public eye. And then he encounters God, and God gives him a mission, an assignment, and a purpose. So sometimes you might have messed up like Moses. But this morning there might be something fresh stirring in your soul that says, God, I know you've got a purpose and an assignment for my life. And I'm going to discover that for my life so that I can walk and live in that purpose. David was God's gift to the children of Israel when he defeated the giant Goliath. Amen. Esther was God's grace gift to the Jewish people to save them from being wiped out. I could go on and on through the scriptures this morning. You see, every person God created is God's grace gift to somebody else. You are today to somebody else. And so it's very important that we understand that that should give you and I a sense of significance, a sense of value in the sight of God, because he has so uniquely crafted your life to make a difference in the world that you live in. You are a person of significance and you are a person of value to God and to other people. Remember, God's not a duplicator. He's a creator. He didn't take you and duplicate you down the production line. Each and every one of us, unique fingerprint, unique everything about our lives, unique assignment, unique purposes, unique plans for our lives today. So somebody has been laying awake at night troubled, praying for a solution, and you may very well be the answer to their problem today, as you've heard some of the testimonies here this morning. So right now, I understand what my assignment is. You know, at the end of 2021, I knew that God was speaking. He'd spoken to me in 2020. He gave me five things prophetically that God was changing in the church. And I had to have the courage to step out, step forward, and change the way that we were doing church. And I tell you what, it was a big step. 34 years doing church one way, and then to suddenly say, we're going to do it this way. Will you follow me? You're all testament to the fact you're here. Praise God, somebody came today. Hallelujah. And we're discovering something incredible that's going on in our midst. And you know what it is? It's the priesthood of every believer. It's not the man up the front that gets all the rewards. It's when all of us find out what we're supposed to do and we get doing it, suddenly the body of Christ is in action. People are getting saved. People are getting touched. People are getting healed. People are getting delivered because you are stepping into what God designed you for. And if we just have one man or a group of people up on a stage performing, you're never going to see the people of God released. So my job right now, my assignment is very clear. God has called me to start and lead a disciple-making movement that's going to teach believers, every single one of us, how to make another disciple who will then go on to make another disciple who will then go on to make generation 3, generation 4, generation 5. My goal in life is to lead a church that's going 10 generations deep. I lead Viv to Christ. Viv sees that Sue definitely needs salvation, so she leads Sue to Christ. And Sue finally gets it and she leads, you know, her disciple that she's discipling at the moment to Christ. And it goes down 10 generations. There's churches around the world right now who are going 16 to 20 generations deep. And it's got nothing to do with the pastor. It's about them discovering their identity and purpose as disciple makers in Christ and doing the job. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? So this isn't an easy assignment for me. You know, I thought it would be a little bit easier. It's a lot harder than what I initially thought, but we're starting to see the progress begin to happen. And here's just some simple things I want to share with you about what happens when you apply helping others in problem solving for your assignment. Firstly, problems help us see the value in each other. If you've got a problem, you would have experienced this, because there's nobody here that's never had a problem. Amen? There's nobody here that's never had a problem. We've all had a problem. And what happened? Somebody came alongside of you. Woohoo! Somebody came alongside of you. She said amen to that. Somebody came alongside of you and they helped you solve their problem. And so you know what problems do? Problems elevate our awareness of valuing other people. Because when somebody helps you, suddenly you assign value to that person. Is that cool? Some problems will become more noticeable than others to you. Do you know why? Tailors notice missing buttons. Mechanics notice funny sounds happening in an engine. And what will happen is, depending on your calling and your design, there will be specific things that you will notice, problems that you will notice that other people haven't got a clue. They can't even see it. But because God has assigned you to the problem, you're going to see it and God's going to help you solve the problem. Can I hear an amen on that one? Praise God. You will see other things that people do not notice. And in fact, what you see is often a clue to your calling and the anointing that is over your life. See, you're another thing to understand about problems is that you're not assigned to everybody who has a problem. That's God's job. You're not assigned to every problem that you come against. I had to go through this as a brand new Christian. I was trying to help everybody. I thought my job was to help everybody that came, and I didn't have the skills to do it. And I used to get frustrated. Why can't I help this person, that person? Because it wasn't my job. That was somebody else's job. Amen? So God has assigned somebody else for that problem. So stop drifting out of your lane. Get back in your lane and do your job. Amen? Fourthly, God will supply you with understanding, and he'll give you the time to respond properly to the problem. He'll give you understanding. The wisdom will be imparted to you on what you need to do in this situation. And God will also give you the time in your schedule to be able to deal with the problem. Nothing more frustrating than having one too many problems on your schedule and you don't have the time to do it, but you've made a commitment to do it. And you do a half pie job. And so God will give you both the understanding, the wisdom. Lord, show me what to do in this situation. Like Anel, go to the front desk. Go and ask the lady for a job. Wow, she got it. Isn't that incredible? That was the wisdom of God. Amazing. Fifthly, the person or people that you are helping, they will somehow, you may have no little letters next to your name. You don't have a doctorate, PhD, or even a degree. But when God sends you to solve someone's problem, you know what happens? They see you as being their answer, and they have great confidence in you, probably way more than you've got in yourself, because God has showed them that you are to help them. And it was like the Ethiopian eunuch. Do you remember? He's riding in his chariot. He's got the scroll of Isaiah open. He's reading it. It's like reading Morse code to him. He can't understand it. Philip's on the side of the road, sees the problem. You get this? He's the right man at the right place at the right time. And he says to the guy, the Ethiopian eunuch, he says, hey, what are you doing? He says, oh, I'm reading this book, the scroll of Isaiah, but I don't understand it. And then he says, will you come up here and help me? And so God opens the way for Philip. Philip explains the gospel out of the book of Isaiah, and the guy gets saved, and he says, what hinders me from being baptized right here, right now? And he gets baptized, saved, baptized, all in one shot. Isn't that cool? Absolutely awesome. So Philip was fulfilling his assignment, and then, of course, we've got Philip's transport happening completely after that. Who wants to experience Philip's transport? Can you imagine being in Buenos Aires yesterday? No 14-hour flight. Beam me up, Lord. I'm back in New Zealand for the service on Sunday. Wouldn't that just be awesome? And that's what happened with Philip after he fulfilled his assignment. And also, God will confirm your assignment with inner peace in you, and he'll give joy in them, the people that you're helping out this morning. So Ephesians says this, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, listen to this, for good works, for assignments, for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God's got them all queued up in your life. And if you're listening to him, okay, James, you got that assignment, tick, okay, here's the next one. Shuffle it over in the queue, download that, we're on to the next thing that God is doing within our life. And so there's no denying it. This is for everybody. God has prepared good works in advance for all of us to do. He's prepared them for you. They're waiting for you, ready for these problems to be solved in the name of Jesus. And so your assignment is specific to you. And if we look at Jesus' life, he knew at the age of 12, he's in debating with the learned scholars and Pharisees at 12 years old, and he's whipping them. He's beaten up on them. He's talking rings around them as a 12-year-old. Why? Because he's flowing in the anointing of his assignment. And he was able, later on at the start of his ministry, he was able to articulate exactly what his assignment was. We see that in Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. This was Jesus' assignment. He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, heal the brokenhearted, proclaim deliverance to the captives, restoring vision to the blind, setting at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. What a job profile. And right at the start of his ministry, he knew what it was and he could articulate it. Wouldn't you love that? To be able to stand up in front of us all today and say, this is what God has called me to do. And with his strength and his help, I'm going to get the job done in Jesus' name. And Jesus was committed to his assignment. Bible says, I've finished the work. Jesus said, I've finished the work which you have given me to do. So as I finish this, I've got three things to help you actually discover. You understand today, you're here to solve a problem. God's created solutions for you to solve problems. And here's how you can find out what your assignment is. You know, if you think about this, if you were God and you have the problem where you've made someone, he's got a big plan, amen? So he's going to work out exactly how it's going to be, and he's going to work out exactly where you're going to be born, what country you're in. I mean, I often think about, wow, I'm a Kiwi. I was born and bred in New Zealand. I love my country. I hate what I see happening in my country, but I love my country right now. It's amazing that God chose me to be a New Zealander. And I think that's absolutely awesome. He made that plan, not me. He created me to be a Kiwi. And so there's ramifications from that. We're a long way away from a lot of people. And so, you know, if we want to help the world, we're going to have to travel. There's no two ways about it. And so there's all those sorts of things that come into our lives as we begin to understand. And so God is answering this question, how am I going to get that assignment to you today? How is he going to get that assignment to you? And the first thing is that connect with God and let him talk to you. Christianity is not about religion, rules. It's about relationship with God. And when you learn to hear his still small voice in your life, it becomes a rudder for your ship. And it steers you directly into your assignment, where sooner or later you're going to begin to find the thing that God has blessed and anointed you to be able to do. And the Holy Spirit is key to this. Jesus said this about the Holy Spirit. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So God has made a promise that you don't have to be the blind leading the blind. He's given you the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God has promised to show you things to come so that you're not walking blindfolded. So when you connect with God, his Spirit connects with you, and what starts to begin to happen in your life, there's downloads going on, and you're beginning to see the footprint of God for your life. Secondly, God wires it into the DNA of your life. So you need to get personal insight into who you are before you can actually discover your assignment. If you've been a pen pushy all your life and you've never picked up a spanner, a crescent, a torque wrench, whatever it may be, if you've never, you don't even know what I'm talking about, do you? You don't even know what I'm talking about. God is most likely not going to call you to go to the local mechanics car club to help them out, because you're going to go there and you're going to look really dumb when you go there. But he's given you ability to organize, to administrate, to, you know, use those silky skills in the office instead of putting your hand on a spanner and saying, what do I do with this? And God begins to use those tools that you have. So a lot of it is who God's wired you to be. If you're a gamer who loves big screen TVs and, you know, big sound bars and you know, the latest technology, you've even got the gaming chair, the gaming mouse, you know, you've got the fast, super fast PC. People are going, look at me, what are you talking about? By the way, I've never gamed in my life. But, you know, if you're a gamer, if you're a gamer, you're not likely to reach a dock worker, Department of Conservation. who goes and hikes in the back blocks of the hills and the mountains in New Zealand for days on end, they're probably not going to send you to help with this person. And so you get what I'm trying to say here today. So take another look at how you're wired, what your natural giftings are, where you love to problem solve, and get into an environment where your wiring is going to be a blessing to those who don't know Jesus. God will use you. And lastly this morning is that you've got to actually purpose in your heart to do this. Don't just think it's all going to fall on you from heaven. Get serious. Seek and you will find. Ask and it will be given to you. Begin to say, Lord, I want to make a difference with the time you've given me on planet Earth. You know, I think of people in our church. I think of Pastor Phil, who for many years has been going over up into Asia. He has a massive ministry in Asia to thousands of people. And yet he's in little old Faith Point here back in New Zealand. But God has used him time and time again. I think of Richard, who a few years ago got prompted by the Lord to write a simple little book that is now, how many copies, Richard? 16.5 million copies of one, 16.5 million copies. I mean, that's just mind-blowing. I don't know any other Kiwi author that has, you know, had 16.5 million books published. But you know why? Because God assigned him to do it and gave him the grace and the gifts to be able to do it. And now for the rest of Richard's life, and I guarantee it'll be right up to his very last breath, he will be traveling the world, ministering and sharing as a result of that one book that God gave him to write. So how has God wired you today? And are you going to purpose yourself to discover that calling this morning? To conclude today, George Bernard Shaw, famous quote, he said this, "A life spent making mistakes is not only more honorable, but more useful than a life spent doing nothing." You're not going to get it right all the time. Neither am I. But we've got to be prepared to make the mistakes on the road to discovering how God has made us, wired us, set us up so we can fulfill the purposes and the plans. He's gifted you uniquely in so many ways.